sometimes in our stubbornness and our running from God, we would rather be thrown overboard than actually bow our knee and go to the hard places that God is calling us to go to.
It's Moody Presents with Dr. Mark Jobe. Hey, thanks for linking up with us. I'm John Gager, welcoming you to our continuing series in the book of Jonah. Boy, I love this story. It never gets old. And you know, you and I love this story for lots of reasons. But if we're honest, most of us have to admit there's a fair amount of Jonah in our own hearts, right? Dr. Mark Jobe is our teacher. He's the president of Moody Bible Institute and founding pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Now, as we begin today's teaching segment, Pastor Mark has a great story that brings one aspect of this whole Jonah journey straight into the 21st century.
I love the story of Jonah because it's riddled with interesting insights about calling and how God works. And so it tells us in verse 6, "So the captain came and said to Jonah, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.'" Don't you love the fact that God uses a diehard pagan to call Jonah to do what he should be doing, calling out to God? God is not limited how he can speak to you. Now, he chooses to speak to us through his word, through his inspired, divine, inerrant, authoritative word, as we heard all last week. But hey, God will get our attention however he has to get our attention. And in this case, he uses the voice of a pagan. He uses someone that's far from God that's saying, "Hey, get up, wake up, go call to your God." Not only does he use the voice of a pagan to speak a prophetic message into Jonah, and by the way, God can use anyone. He can use a donkey, he can use a pagan, he can use your mother-in-law, he can use anybody. I mean, God is not limited as to how he works. He can use your roommate, hello. It tells us that the next thing that happens is not only does he use a pagan to tell Jonah what he needs to do, get out of your sleep, go up and call to your God. Well, yes, hello, that's what you should be doing. Secondly, they cast lots in a pagan form. And I know they did it in the New Testament to choose the apostles, but you know, we have a different form. We call it to God, ask for discernment. This was a pagan practice. And so they cast lots, and God uses a pagan practice to point out Jonah that, yeah, it is Jonah's fault. And I find it interesting that some pagans get together and invoke their gods in a pagan practice, and God says, okay, I'm going to indulge them and point to Jonah through their pagan practice. Interesting, right? And then not only does he use a pagan to wake him up and tell him to call unto her God and use a pagan practice to point out that it's Jonah. By the way, don't try to use this as an excuse to try to find your calling, cast lots and pick sticks just because Jonah did it. This was a pagan practice, by the way. And then he goes on to say that not only did it fall on him, but look, notice, it tells us that it was pagan people that pointed out his failure in his calling. They said in verse 8, they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from, and what is your country, and of what people are you?" They are calling Jonah to repent. They are calling Jonah to call unto his God. It's pagans that are calling him out in the midst of a storm. And what does this speak to? I think it speaks to the sovereignty of God. God is not limited by what he can use or who he can use or how he uses people. God is sovereign. And he works in many, many ways and can use even pagan society around us, just like he used Pharaoh in Egypt, who is a pagan. He used Pharaoh to prepare the people of Israel. God is sovereign in all that he does. I was thinking back over my life, and I've told this story before, but it came to my mind as I was in the middle of a storm myself. It wasn't a financial storm, a physical storm. It was a storm of identity, a crisis of identity. I had prepared at Moody. I felt like God had a call on my life, that God wanted to use me, do something with me. And I felt like, hey, I want to help change the world for Jesus. And I found myself at the age of 21, stepping up to a little church on the southwest side of Chicago with 18 people, very little salary, no worship team, in a really forgotten corner of the city of Chicago. And I was preaching my heart out, and I was preparing, but this was like no man's land. The building was falling apart. The worship team was me with an Ovation guitar. You don't think it's that funny because you haven't heard me sing, but it was bad. As soon as we got a decent worship leader, they said, "Pastor, you know, we love your heart. Stick to preaching." Pretty bad when the worship team kicks you off, right? And I started thinking to myself, hey, is this what I prepared for, really? Is this what I got ready for? I'm in the middle of this little place with 25 people that I'm pastoring and teaching. No one knows about it. People drive around this neighborhood. No one wants to go to that neighborhood. I mean, this is like, wow, this is the last place that I thought I would end up in. And I want to challenge you, when God has a call on your life, I want you to understand that it's about God and His glory, not your significance or identity. Ooh. Remember that. Because what passes as calling sometimes can get really mixed up with our own sense of who we are. And if you develop your sense of identity by what you do or the success that you get, then you are a dangerous person in ministry. Dangerous. And so I was wrestling through this. The pastor of the church that I had been a part of, he had told me when I said I thought God had a call on my life to pastor this church, I thought he was going to put his hands on me, bless me, encourage me, say, "Go get him, Tiger. I see that calling in you." He looked at me and he said, "The city chews up and spits out pastors left and right. I hope you make it." Thank you, Pastor. And I felt there was a part of me that felt like I have to prove myself. Can I make it? Will I make it? A dangerous game to start playing. Proving yourself to others instead of asking yourself, am I faithful to my God? And I was struggling with it. I was struggling with the fact that my wife had to work because she couldn't live off of my puny little salary. The fact that I had to get insurance off of hers. The fact that no one ever went to that neighborhood. In my mind, I thought, am I going to be stuck here in this little place with dealing for the next 25 years with 20 people? Is that really my call, God? And in the light of that sort of struggling with my own identity, my own call, my own storm of identity of who am I, what am I supposed to do, and do I have significance? By the way, a super dangerous thing to call, if you look at, this is another message, but if you look at the story of Saul, Saul kept asking himself, do people like me, do people like me, do people like me? Absalom kept asking himself, am I important, am I important, am I important? David asked himself, are you pleased with me, God? Are you pleased with me, God? Are you pleased with me, God? I don't know what question tends to circle around in your head and replay itself, but if the question is, do people like me? Do people like me? Do people like me? And you get into ministry, you're going to have mega problems.
Well, there's more to come in today's message in just a moment, but haven't you noticed that when God is in charge of every aspect of our lives, there's just this undercurrent of peace and joy right in the middle of our trials? Hey, could I ask for your partnership in an important matter right now? I'm talking about the idea of becoming a monthly partner. A monthly partner is quite simply somebody who says, I appreciate Moody Presents, and I want to help guarantee it stays financially strong and steady into the future with my giving on a regular basis. hence this idea, monthly partner. Now, here's the thing. You decide the amount, but if you should choose to give $30 a month or more, you'll enjoy a discount of 50% off the entire line of Moody Publishers products. That's right, half off the biographies and devotionals and Christian living books, half off all of that great stuff for your kids. And it all starts when you become a monthly partner at $30 a month or more. You can sign up online at moodypresents.org. Click the Donate Now button. Again, that's moodypresents.org. Let's pick up our study now in the life of Jonah as we rejoin Pastor Mark Job on Moody Presents.
And if you can't re-script your mind from asking what Absalom was asking, am I important, am I important, am I important, you're going to have mega problems and you're going to hurt a lot of people in ministry if you don't get that script out of your head. Am I important or do people like me? When you start asking yourself, God, are you pleased with me? Do I have your favor? Is your face smile upon me? And that's the main thing that matters. Then you'll be in a place where you don't need people to affirm you necessarily in your calling, but you're sure of your own calling. And I digress a little bit. So in the middle of that whole situation of wrestling through my calling, my own storm in life, I get a phone call from a very prestigious college and university that said, hey, Reverend Mark Job. No one ever called me Reverend. Reverend Mark Job, we've heard about you. Like, they heard about me? They had heard about me because someone from the church worked at their office and told them, hey, here's a guy I think that could pray. And so they called me up and they said, we would like for you to pray at the invocation and do the benediction of a prestigious graduation in the Rockefeller Center in the University of Chicago. If you've ever been to the University of Chicago Rockefeller Center, it is a magnificent, powerful building. It is ornate. It was built by Rockefeller himself. I mean, this, and it's on an Ivy League school. And I thought, wow, they heard about me finally. And so I went down to the graduation and they put a gown on me, put a hat. They got the guy that's the master of ceremony, started walking me up to the platform. And he said, oh, by the way, we've heard that you're an intelligent young man with a lot of potential in your life. Yeah, I guess you've heard about, right? And they said, and by the way, we want to tell you that this is a non-sectarian event. So we would prefer if you would leave words that are sectarian out of your prayer. And I said, well, what do you mean by sectarian? Well, you know, words like Jesus, the Bible, Christ. There's people from all kinds of religions, and we don't want you to offend people. We know you're intelligent and that you understand how to navigate this. And I said, well, I wish someone would have told me that before. They said, we know that you would understand. And they brought me up and put me on a platform, and I looked out to the Rockefeller Center, finally, a place of prestige. People had flown from all over the world. There was doctors, lawyers, and presidents of different colleges. They had come for this graduation, and I could tell there was various ethnic groups that were represented there. And they said, and now to open up this for the convocation, Reverend Mark Job. And I got up to that platform in my storm, struggling with my identity. And I went to pray. And I prayed the most generic, pathetic, politically correct, non-consequential prayer. Bland, acceptable, that you could ever pray. And I went down and I sat down. They were very happy with my prayer because I was in a storm of identity. Do people like me? Am I important? But there was one person I could tell wasn't happy with my prayer. If my wife would have been, it would have been her, but no, she wasn't there that day because she's a little fireball. I sat down. Have you ever been under conviction? Feel it? The pain, the pointed. I sat down and I thought to myself, what did I just do? I allowed my own storm, my own insecurities, my own wrestling with my issues to sabotage. What is my call? My call is to present the gospel. My call is to be bold about Jesus, the power of God. And what kept going through my mind is, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah, it's foolishness to some people. It's a stumbling block to others. But really, am I going to let that take the gospel out of me? My own storm. And pagans around me challenging, speaking into me. I was so convicted, they got up. I couldn't hear who was talking, Dr. So-and-so and this and that and the other. And they had all these prestigious people come up. And then I kind of just awoken when someone said, and now Reverend Mark Jobe is going to do the convocation, the benediction. And so this time I kind of flew up to the podium, and I had been under conviction. You know, you can go two ways in a storm. And I got up with a little bit fear and trembling, and I said, you know, I said, I know this is a non-sectarian event, but I'm going to pray in the only name I know how to pray in. And so this time I prayed in the name of Jesus. I mentioned him a couple times just to make up for the times that I had him in. And you know, the first one, I was pretty bland. This time, I prayed like a Pentecostal preacher, man. I was raising my foot up and down. I was talking about Jesus. I was blessing people. Man, I said, I'm going to let it all go. And when I finished praying, I didn't look back. I didn't look to the president. I just, like, took my long robes, and I went like this. And I got off stage. The guy up after me came, we're dismissed. He was all nervous. And I started making my way on down the aisle real fast, the robes flying about me like this. And I'm going like this. A girl jumped in front of me, and she said, Pastor Mark. I said, yeah, that's me. I thought it's coming. She said, thank you. She said, I've been a student here for 3 years. They've had Christian pastors. Not one of them has mentioned the name of Jesus. Thank you for mentioning the name of Jesus. Can I tell you something? Man, I was never again invited. Never again. I was never again invited to that place. But thank Jesus, I didn't lose my soul and my calling in it. It was a storm. I had to wrestle for my soul, my calling, the power of the gospel. And everyone that with a call in this place, you have issues. And the enemy is going to press in on those issues to try to He's going to try to pull the calling out of you. He's going to try to derail you because you have issues and I have issues, like Jonah had issues. What I love about Jesus, though, what I love about the gospel, what I love about the call of God in our lives, God could have said, forget Jonah, let me get someone else. But God stayed with Jonah, put him into his call, because the calling and giftings of God are irrevocable, and God knows that he's dealing with people that have issues, but he's not willing to let our issues go. He'll take us sometimes in the middle of the storm. Number three, storms work as a force to redirect our lives to the center of God's plan. So they talked to Jonah, and Jonah admitted, it is me. I'm the problem here. Here's what strikes me about this story. Jonah says, I'm the problem. Throw me overboard. The pagans seem more godly than the prophet. We don't want to throw you. We'll try to keep your life. They rowed. They tried to. But you can't fight the storm of God. And so finally, they take Jonah. Now, Jonah could have said, I'll stop this. Let me repent. Let me break before God. Let me embrace humility. Let me say, God, I've been wrong. But Jonah was so stubborn that he would rather be thrown overboard than repent before God Almighty. Think about that. Throw me overboard. Hey, there's another solution. How about repentance? And sometimes in our stubbornness and our running from God, we would rather be thrown overboard than actually bow our knee and go to the hard places that God is calling us to go to. The Bible says that they took Jonah, not because they wanted to. They kind of asked for forgiveness, and they threw him overboard. Verse 11 tells us, he said, pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down. And as soon as they picked him up and threw him into the sea, the tempest stopped, the storm stopped. And the God that had appointed a storm is the God that appoints a great fish. Love you, Jesus. I love it. They throw him overboard. The great fish catches him and starts to take him back to where he's running from. I love that. Can I tell you, you can run from God. If you have a call upon your life, you're just rerouting and extending your journey, but God is sovereign. One way or another, he's taking you back to the hard places. One way or another, he's taking you back to the call. You may have to go 40 years in the desert before you reroute back to where he wants you to be, but God is persistent and sovereign and loving in his call. Despite your issues, God will deal with your issues, take you into a storm, bring pagans to speak into your life, throw you overboard, do whatever it takes, because his persistent love for people and persistent love for you is unfailing. Let me leave you with this image. I heard of a man that was driving down the road, and this guy was a construction worker, and so he was all, didn't want to waste anything. And as he drove down this road, he saw a bag of cement that some other construction site, it must have hit a bump in the car days earlier. It fell off, and a bag of cement was there. It had rained since then, so this guy never wanted to waste anything. So he stopped, went to pick up the bag of cement, and when he went to pick up the bag of cement, he realized that it was already hard. You see, it was destined to build a building, to do something significant. But when he picked it up, it had become hard before it reached its destination to do something significant. And so now it had to be broken because it had hardened. I'm just wondering if on the way to your call, if on the way to your call, you allow the hardness of resistance to the voice of the Holy Spirit to deal with the issues that are at the core of your life and my life, whether it's identity, whether it's pride, whether it's addiction, regardless of what it is, I pray to God that some of you won't get hard and malformed before you reach your calling, because if you do, God's going to have to break you to use you again. Would you stand with me? I am so excited, so full of faith for what God is going to do through this group that's here. But I'm not naive enough to believe that it's going to happen without breaking, without the storm, without what God wants to do in your life before he uses you. And so I guess I'm just wondering out loud, what is the hard place that you may be running from? What is the issue that's hardening your heart that you continue to resist before God? What is the issue that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about on your way to your calling? You have a compelling calling, and you have issues that could sabotage your calling. Let's let God deal with it now. So, Father, we pray today, if we hear your voice, that we would not harden our hearts. But today, Lord, as we hear your voice, that we would be willing to look at those undealt with issues, those questions: am I important? Do people like me? The issues of postponed obedience, the issues of disobedience, the issues in our heart that require repentance. God, I'm praying and believing that you're going to use this group of people in this room to do some incredible things around the world. But oh God, I call on to you and I pray, Jesus, that the breaking, the softening, the repentance, going to the hard places, will happen now, here, today, in this season. And not later, God. Not when there's greater responsibility on their shoulders. Not when there's more people to be damaged or affected because we've refused to deal with our issues, God. I pray that you would deal with us now, Lord. Now. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
The story of Jonah, brought to life by our teacher, Pastor Mark Job. You can hear today's message again online at moodypresents.org. That's moodypresents.org. While there, give a click to the Donate Now link. It's an easy way to set up a monthly gift to support the Bible teaching that supports you. Honestly, we cannot put this program together without financial partners like you who give on a monthly basis. So thanks for thinking this through and signing up now at moodypresents.org. That's moodypresents.org. Thanks so much. Well, I'm John Gager, and Moody Presents is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. See you next time.